Today is April 25th, 2009, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 146, take two, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, chapeau salesman and haberdasher.
And I'm Vern Seward, columnist and contributing editor for the Mac Observer. To get the full story on anything we cover on this podcast, you can visit us at macobserver.com/AWR. And if you have comments or questions on anything about the show, shoot us a note at awr@macobserver.com.
Boy, that's just weird.
What's up?
Well, you're saying what I normally say, and then I'm saying what Jeff normally says, because Jeff isn't here.
Oh, you know that's right. Jeff isn't here. Wait. So now, let's see. I'm you, and you're Jeff.
Yes. And Jeff's gone.
And Jeff's not here.
So... Vern is a longtime writer for the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. You have Just a Thought, Just a Peek, and Free on iTunes. Those are the various columns you usually do, right?
Yeah, usually. And I, those are the ones.
How long have you been writing for us?
Seven years now? That's a tough question. Yeah, at least several years now. I think it was six years. Seven?
Six? Something that only...
Somewhere in that area. I don't know. I have to look and see. I know it's been a while.
Dave and you and me realize this, but you actually started writing for us because Rodney Olane was both recruiting you and selling you to us.
That was very true. He certainly did. He recruited me and kept telling... He was a great inspiration and provided a lot of encouragement, so I will lie to him.
I miss Rodney. Yep. I miss Rodney.
God rest his soul.
Not that I believe in God, but that's a whole other podcast. So
yes,
certainly miss Rodney though. That's the truth. And anyway, be that as it may, Jeff and I both really appreciate you filling in as co-host while Jeff was in both San Francisco for a security conference and then in Las Vegas for NAB.
He's in Las Vegas now.
Actually, he's home now.
Ah, okay. So I guess he's lost all of his money and he had to hitchhike home. That's what I heard. Yeah.
That's exactly the case. And, I said this was episode number 146, take two, because the funny thing, folks, is that Vern and I actually recorded this on Thursday. And I didn't push the record button.
I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing with you, Brian. I'm laughing beside you.
You can laugh at me too, but so that's how we got here. That's who Vern is, and with that, let's get to the show.
Okay, sounds good.
Apple turned in a record non-holiday quarter for its March quarter. The company hints at its plans for the netbook space. And after only 9 months, iPhone and iPod Touch users have downloaded more than 1 billion apps.
Billion.
Though one of those apps, Baby Shaker, did cause Apple to issue an apology. And let's not forget the Apple Lawsuit Express, which handed down a guilty verdict and a $19 million judgment against the company.
The big news this week is that Apple posted what the company called its best non-holiday quarter in history, in the middle of a recession that's supposed to penalize the premium brand company. Apple announced revenue of $8.16 billion and a profit of $1.21 billion. That works out to $1.33 per share, or EPS.
It was the iPhone that carried the day, as the company sold some 3.79 million of the devices during the quarter, 123% more than it did in the year-ago quarter. Apple's Mac sales weren't too shabby either, as the company sold 2.22 million Macs. Now, that is 3% less than the year-ago quarter, but as the market as a whole shrunk 7% year-over-year, Apple really posted year-over-year market share growth. The biggest surprise, however, may have been the 11 million iPods the company sold, which represents a 3% year-over-year gain in a market that many analysts have been calling mature. Not bad considering how some analysts were also predicting Apple's doom and demise due to the lack of an effective netbook strategy in the middle of a recession.
And speaking of effective netbook strategies, it seems that Apple has one after all, and that strategy is likely going to include changing the rules once again. In a company's conference call with analysts, Apple COO Tim Cook said that Apple wasn't interested in the netbook space as it exists today. He then added, quote, "Of course, if we find a way to deliver," then he added, quote, "Of course, if we find a way we can deliver an innovative product that really makes a contribution, then we'll do that. We have some interesting ideas in that space," unquote. Brian believes that's actually code that means the company is going to address the needs that the PC world has been trying to fill with netbooks by releasing a supersized iPod Touch that will surf the web, do email, and run App Store apps in a form factor that doesn't suck, with a display that doesn't suck, and hardware that isn't junky. We'll talk more about that in the context machine.
Apple retail sales slowed in the first quarter of 2009, and the company cut some 1,600 full-time positions throughout its fleet of Apple stores, according to its latest 10Q filing with the SEC. While there are no signs that the company plans to close any stores, it has yet to do so in 8 years of retail operations. Fortune's Apple 2.0 blog notes that it has been temporarily shuttering stores for renovations, quote, "at a stepped-up pace," unquote. Writer Philip Elmore DeWitt said, "That doesn't necessarily mean Apple plans to shutter a lot of stores, but it could signal a major reassessment of its retail strategy."
Apple has lost one of its numerous patent infringement suits the company is embroiled in and ordered to pay $19 million in compensation. A firm named Opti sued Apple in January 2007, accusing the company of infringing on the patent entitled "Predictive Snooping of Cache Memory for Master-Initiated Accesses," and a jury in Texas agreed. The patent in question describes a way for a computer to operate more efficiently by controlling how information is exchanged between the central processor, memory, and other devices. In the case against Apple, the Mac maker tried to have the patent invalidated on the basis of both prior art and obviousness. The argument that technology covered in the patent is so obvious that it should not be given a patent protection.
Apple created, or perhaps allowed to happen, quite the disturbance when it approved an iPhone game called Baby Shaker. The game shows a drawing of a baby and plays the sound of said baby crying. In order to make the crying stop, you have to shake the iPhone until two red X's appear over the baby's eyes. The game immediately created an uproar from parents and child protection-oriented groups like the Sarah Jane Brain Foundation, who demanded that the game be pulled, and that Apple explain why it approved such a game to begin with. Apple did just that. They pulled the app, and on Thursday, the company went so far as to issue an apology. In a statement, Apple said, quote, "This application was deeply offensive and should not have been approved for distribution on the App Store. When we learned of this mistake, the app was removed immediately. We sincerely apologize for this mistake and thank our customers for bringing this to our attention," unquote. Oops.
And finally, Apple announced on Friday that 13-year-old Connor Mulcahy of Connecticut was the grand prize winner of its 1 billion iPhone app contest. The company said that the billionth app was Bump Technologies' free contact information exchange app, Bump. Connor scored a $10,000 iTunes gift card, an iPod Touch, a time capsule, and a MacBook Pro as the grand prize winner.
Woo! All right!
Yes!
Connor.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Connor.
Congratulations.
And now it's time for the Context Machine, where Brian and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on.
And, you know, the big news this week was absolutely Apple's earnings report.
I got to tell you, it's impressive. It is impressive.
Yeah, it was, you know, at the beginning of the quarter, we had analysts downgrading Apple. Some analysts were concerned about Apple's premium pricing, meaning that, Macs cost more than PCs, not for what you get, but just in terms of the crap that the PC market has available for people to buy. You can buy a bunch of crap
right.
for not very much money. And, of course, netbooks were a big deal. I can't remember her name, but there's one analyst who is always wrong about Apple, and she downgraded Apple. She went so far as to downgrade the company because they didn't have an effect, or they hadn't explained how they could sell netbooks without affecting MacBook sales, which is just the stupidest thing on the freaking planet. Yeah. That really drove me nuts. And here we get to the end of the quarter, and companies got a record non-December quarter. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We're in the middle of a recession, of a recession, I like to call it. Apple sells high-quality products on the high end of the market, and they had a record quarter. I mean, what's up with that?
Well, you know, what it proves is that you don't have to have cheap, crappy stuff in order to have decent sales, which, obviously, the other PC companies are producing and not selling. I mean, Dell, has anybody talked about what Dell has for a quarter?
Yeah, we actually talked about that in the last Apple Weekly report. Dell lost its number one position to HP in sales. HP is actually doing fairly well, but, you know, most of the thing about the PC market is that the market shrank 7% year over year, but a big part of why it only shrank 7% was the sale of all these cheap, crappy netbooks.
Well, you know, not all of them are cheap and crappy, I got to say. You know, I had one. In fact, I had an HP netbook. And I actually liked it. It was actually put together fairly well. I liked it. It ran XP, and I didn't like that. And I think I read somewhere that Microsoft has cornered the netbook market for OS. But that's another story. But
they don't make anything off of the sale.
No.
I mean, Microsoft actually just turned in a dismal quarter.
The first time they've lost a quarter, and I think they said in history. Isn't that what they said?
It's the first time in since I think maybe even 85 where they haven't grown revenue.
But I know it's been a very, very, very long time they turned in a quarter as dismal as the one they just turned in. So, not good for the PC world, but Apple seems to be doing fairly well, which is really cool.
And this
despite of a at least an advertised netbook strategy,
right? So. That's absolutely true, and you know, we're going to get to that in a little bit. But there's another point that should be made about the quarterly Mac numbers. Mac unit sales did only fall 3%, but the ASP, which is the average selling price of Macs, shrank substantially. I think it was 15%.
Oh, okay.
So that means that while Apple kept up its numbers, the numbers, the kinds of units that it was selling were more towards the lower end, say more MacBooks instead of MacBook Pros, more iMacs instead of Mac Pros. As a matter of fact, they didn't sell many Mac Pros during the quarter at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Apple's numbers on Macs are holding up. The average selling price didn't hold up. So that's where the company saw a hit from the recession.
Mm-hmm.
And it was totally the iPhones that carried the day. 3.79 million of the devices sold. And if you look at what their non-GAAP numbers were, in other words, where they actually counted iPhone sales immediately instead of amortizing it over the next 24 months, that they had more than $9 billion in revenue.
Wow.
So the iPhone was the hero of the day in terms of the company's results, even though the Mac numbers were definitely solid.
Well, the other surprise here is the number of iPods that are getting sold.
Yeah.
That was surprising to me because this was a device that a lot of analysts were saying was mature at the end of its not necessarily at the end, but had definitely filled its space, if you will, its market space. So, and yet they were able to produce 11 million iPod sales in the quarter. So that's, you know, Apple is still kicking some major buns here.
Yeah, you know, an interesting thing to me about iPod sales are that a lot of iPod sales have gone to people who have one or more of the devices already.
Yeah.
And you would think that that would be one area where the company would take a hit in the middle of a recession, that, you know, people aren't going to get that second or that third iPod. They're just going to go ahead and, you know, make do with the awesome product that they already had. But I think what happened is that we're seeing sales of iPod Touches.
That's what I was going to say. I believe that's exactly what's going on, because the Touch provides a new form factor in that iPod market, which I think personally was sorely needed. I think the old classic iPod is probably going the way of the dinosaur.
It won't go the way of the dinosaur until Apple can put... probably 100 gigs.
Well, true. But there's going to be less and less people looking for portable storage, and because there's other devices that actually provide portable storage and far more cheaply more easily than iPods nowadays. When that used to not be the case, but the iPod Touch gives a whole new meaning to and a whole new use for the iPod because
it does, and I think that it can't be underestimated the importance of the App Store in terms of sales of
definitely,
the iPod Touch.
Definitely,
people want to be able to use those apps, and if they don't want an iPhone, I think that there are definitely people that are turning to the iPod Touch in order to have all these great apps in their pocket.
And just a little bit of an anecdotal. Anecdote here.
An anecdotal anecdote.
It's you know, it's a story about a story. but I have several friends who are locked into different cell phone carriers other than AT&T, and in anticipation of their contract expiring, you know, like they got a year or two left in their contract, in anticipation of their contract expiring, they went out and bought Touches. That they would have the apps, they would have the feel of using an iPhone. And one of those guys actually his contract recently expired, and now he has a Touch and an iPhone. So it's absolutely amazing how this device is just capturing people's imaginations and has that high I want factor, you know.
Yep.
So,
yep,
and another good thing about this quarter, just going back to the quarter thing here, another good thing about this quarter is this is the first quarter that in a very, very long time where Apple's CEO, Steve Jobs, wasn't actually at the helm. And yet they were still able to pull out a very non-shabby quarter.
Yeah, that's a great point, Bird. That's a really great point. It is literally the first quarter that he hasn't been at the helm since 1997.
Since he came back, right?
Yeah, since he came back. And I think that if there were any doubting Thomases out there, and there were lots of doubting Thomases out there, who said that Apple couldn't function without Steve, well, apparently the company can function without Steve.
Thank you very much. And not to say that he wasn't involved, because I think there have been stories that, you know, while Steve has taken a hiatus from running the company, he is deeply involved in the things that are going on in the background.
He's deeply involved in some of the product development stuff. He's okaying. What I think is happening is that he's okaying a lot of decisions, making a lot of decisions on what's happening with a lot of the new products that are in development. Mm-hmm.
So, definitely a good quarter.
Yep, definitely a good quarter. And speaking of good quarters, you can save some quarters with our sponsor, Smile on My Mac. By the way, I love making ridiculous segues on the show, so that's one of them. Smile on My Mac is this week's sponsor, and so we've got two bits of news. First of all, we're going to talk a little bit about Text Expander, and then we're going to point you to the special discount page that they've set up for us. But before we do that, let's look at Text Expander.
Okay. And Text Expander, what does that do?
All right. So Text Expander basically is it's a piece of software that allows you to create what they call snippets. So say your signature, say a greeting, say a phone number that you use all the time, say a piece of code that you use all the time. And rather than having to go and copy and paste it to the clipboard, or copy it to the clipboard and paste it from the clipboard, you can create these snippets and then have a short string of characters that activates that snippet.
I got you.
So, like, for instance, rather than saying, you know, Brian Chaffin, editor of the Mac Observer, and here's my phone number, and here's my email address, and things like that, I can just say, ANSIG, or ANSIG 1, and ANSIG 2, ANSIG 3, whichever ones I've set up.
So you can basically set up a lot of different greetings and signatures, and just type in some word that activates that, and it expands to that greeting or signature.
Yeah, but, you know, it's, I mean, you know, HTML codes, some kind of URL that you need to use all the time. There's a date, time, and math stuff that'll do automatically for you.
It's very cool.
It's not just signatures and greetings. It can be used, you know, throughout your Mac work, and it's a really good piece of software. I know Jeff loves it. Jeff has been using it for a long time. And, you know, the folks at Smile on My Mac make great software. And what they've done is they've set up for us, and I'm going to pull it up right now. And I meant to already have this done. They've set up a discount page for our listeners and our listeners alone. It's smileonmymac.com/AWR. And we have that link in the show notes. And what you'll find there right now is 20% discounts off of all their products, so including Text Expander. Text Expander is normally $29.95, but if you click through to our page, it's $23.96. That's 20% off.
There you go.
With that, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about in the context machine, and that's the whole netbook thing. I wrote a column about this on the day of the earnings announcement, and If you know how to listen to Apple, if you know how to listen to the things, to what they're talking about when they say what they're either going to do or what they're not going to do, the writing is I'm sorry, I'm using too many metaphors, but it becomes to me very clear. And I think that what Tim Cook did in the conference call is all but directly announce that the company is going to be introducing what I'm calling an iPod SuperTouch, which is just a large, larger form factor running
the
iPhone OS.
It's not going to be called SuperTouch, I'm sure.
Probably not. Okay. I would be. I actually spoke to someone after I wrote that column who said that he's been calling it the iPod Touch Extreme. he was basically talking, thinking along the same lines as me. But what Apple has been doing, and this has been mainly through Tim Cook, is Apple has been saying that the existing netbook market is full of crappy products, and that they think that consumers aren't going to be satisfied with those crappy products for very long. They say that the displays are too small. They say that the keyboards are too cramped. They say that the hardware is junky, and that they can't run good apps. And all of that is exactly what Apple has done in the past when it comes to introducing some sort of new product that they're not yet competing with. You know, it's like Steve Jobs saying, you know, no video on iPods because it's about the music, stupid. And, you know, and sure enough, you know, Apple comes out 6 months later and with a video iPod, and Steve says, yeah, there were all these problems, but now we figured out how to do it right. And that's exactly what they're doing with this, except for they're not going to release netbook. What they're going to do instead, or what they have done or are doing, is they've identified, they think, the things that consumers are wanting netbooks for, which is browsing the web, writing email, and being able to run good apps. And what their intention is to meet those needs with a new class of product. And I think that new class of product is simply going to be something closer to a tablet-sized iPod Touch.
I agree. I think that's probably where they're heading. the thing I'm thinking here is that if it's just those three features, requirements that they're looking to fill, I think they're missing one or two, because one of the things that I liked about the netbook that I had, the HP netbook that I had, was that I could do remote desktop and get into my PC. I do, unfortunately, I know some of you probably are aghast now that learned that I have a PC, but yeah, I do. I have one.
You work with Windows.
Yeah, I do. I'm forced to work with Windows, and believe me, the whole time I had the netbook, I literally hated bringing up XP. It just took so long to, and on such a small device, it took so long to bring up XP, and then so long to get anything done. And Windows, if you're familiar with Windows at all, and I think a lot of you are, it insist on telling you every little tiny thing. I mean, if I'm shutting down the netbook and I'm shutting down this app now, do you really want to shut down this app? Okay, yeah, I want to shut down.
Oh, that's my chief.
I'm shutting down this over here. Oh, do you really want to shut this down? And then the other part is, I'm ranting here, I know, but the other part here is that it'll tell you it's going to shut down and ask you if you want to save something, but then it pops this window right over top of the thing that you want to, that the window that you need to click to save, and it says, hey, if you don't shut this down in 5 seconds, I'm going to shut it down anyway. What kind of sense does that make? Okay, I need to calm down. I know. But the thing that I did like about the netbook was that I was able to remote desktop into more powerful machines, and I think if Apple has any sense here in this, and when they bring out this new super iPod Touch, then they'll also provide that sort of capability and make it so that you can get back to your Mac, not just to the files and folders, but also get back to your Mac and run things from, say, for instance, from the desktop, and actually do things, actually bring up the desktop on your mobile device, whatever that super device is.
Burn, that's going to come, but it's not going to come anytime soon.
Yeah, you think it's going to be here eventually, but not yet. You think Apple's going to hold off on that?
I have been looking for that since 1997 or 98.
I would love that.
When I wrote a column about Steve and some comments that he had made back then about how this was before Mac OS X was released, and he was talking about one of the things he loved with his next OS system at home was that he could pull up his desktop from any room in the house, or anywhere he was. Of course, he had this whole little internal RDF thing going where he kind of forgot that not everybody had a T1 line at the time, which was a big deal at the time. Of course, now we all have T1 times two or three in the form of cable modems.
Exactly.
But my point is that I said at that time that I didn't think Apple was going to be releasing any kind of handheld computer until they could do exactly what you just talked about, which is VPN to your home system, be able to pull up your desktop, take it with you wherever you go. Clearly, I was wrong about that, since the iPod Touch, did eventually exist. But I do think that that's coming. But I don't think that they're really ready with all the pieces yet. The technologies are all out there, but I don't think that they can offer the kind of ubiquitous experience that Apple likes to offer to all its customers with that kind of service yet.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
It'll come, but it's not going to come in this first generation.
Well, okay, and that I believe. I mean, if we look at how Apple has done things in the past, I mean, look at the iPhone. I mean, the first iteration of the iPhone was basically a proof of concept, in my opinion, that they sold to the public, they came out with the second version of the iPhone, which is better, closer towards what it should be. But now with iPhone OS 3.0, I think they're finally delivering what they should have delivered to begin with. In other words, I mean, we're getting some stuff like cut and paste, which, what? I mean, come on. Cut and paste. It's basic, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah, it's been around on BlackBerry for a long time.
Exactly. So, and which obviously should have been delivered when the device first came out. But, you know.
Well, how about being able to send images in a text message? The most sophisticated phone on the planet couldn't do what my wife had a phone in Japan that could do back in 2001. I mean, that baffled me. I was just shocked. I just assumed, of course, that the iPhone would be able to take a photo and then text it to a friend. You know, it's like, of course, why wouldn't it be able to do that? You know, and 2.5 years later, now we're finally getting that in the form of iPhone
and movies. Movies. I mean, what's up with movies?
And movies. That's a good question. So, but you know, we are finally getting those things, and when you add all these little basics that should have been there all along to all of the things that the iPhone does so much better than the competition, you know, now there's. I mean, I honestly think that once 3.0 comes out, there's that. I mean, it's just everything's there. It's good to go.
I have to agree. I'm very much
best in class.
I'm just beside myself with anticipation here for 3.0. This is going to be good. This is really going to be good. So, and in fact, I've told several people. People come up and ask me a lot of times when they should buy an iPhone. Should I buy one now? And normally I say, yeah, sure, go ahead and get one. The apps are there. The functionality for the most part is there. And sure, they're going to bring out cut and paste eventually. So don't worry about it. It's going to go ahead and buy one. Now I'm telling people, you know, 3.0 is the thing. You know, sure, you get one, but 3.0 is the thing, and there's probably some new devices coming out too, so you might want to just kind of sit back a little bit and wait if you can. If you can't, that's fine. But
yeah, new iPhone in your hand is better than two on a rumor site.
Well, that's true. That's true. So,
but we are getting close enough that I wouldn't buy an iPhone today. I'd wait until June. You know, even if I could, you know, being able to use it for 2 months, there's a lot of utility in that, in that.
Right. And the apps are the thing that really makes this thing sing, man, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
I just absolutely love showing off some of these apps.
Did you try to win the billion app competition?
No, I did not.
Contest, I mean?
I did not, even though I did buy some apps during that time, but it's just the stuff I normally do, so I wasn't even paying attention to the competition.
I started downloading a bunch of apps when we got close, and then I forgot to actually check it the next day when I knew it was going to happen. Uh-huh. So I'm like, I had an epic fail at trying to win the contest because I knew it was there. I bought a couple of apps and I was ready to start downloading every single free app that I could as we got closer. You know, install. And I was ready. And then I just forgot about it.
I mean, I tell you what, that's a fail. Great prize list, man. Jeez. A MacBook Pro, a time capsule, and $10,000.
Connor's going to become, is going to have some new best friends.
I'm telling you, I'm already with his best friend. I'm going to fly up to Connecticut and kind of like sit on his, camp out on his doorstep, you know. Hey, Connor, you know, we're going to slide me one of those, peel off a couple of those iTunes gift card thingies there so I can... let me show you how to use your touch, man. I know you don't know how to use it. Let me show you how to use it.
Imagine the music a 13-year-old is going to download with that. what a waste. All right, be that as it may, Vern, it's been great to have you this week. We really appreciate your filling in.
It's a lot of fun, man, I tell you. It's a lot of fun.
Good. And if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thank you for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. Feel free to follow me or let me try that again, folks. Feel free to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/TMOBrian. And Vern's still living back in 2008. He doesn't.
And I don't Twitter. I'm sorry. Just won't do it. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. Bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO. And that's all for this week.
Stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.